for the prison ministry that was held down in Camp Horizon in Florida. We had about 35 there from across the country who were involved in the prison outreach. And it was a good time of fellowship and encouragement. Brother John Phelan from Nashville shared with us each morning a devotional time. And we had met throughout the day with various sessions, all the different ones that are involved in the prison outreach. The Lord has worked in the last year till there are about 1,125 courses a day last year for going into the prisons across the United States. They were just setting a goal, a possibility, and trusting the Lord that for this year that it might increase to 1,500 a day. Of course, the number of prisoners is increasing all the time, but be in prayer for the outreach of the prison. The Lord is working in many ways in the various prisons in this country, and yet there's a need for more people to become involved in the prison outreach. There are quite a number of states that could use someone to be a coordinator for those states. And pray the Lord will raise up people who have a burden for this work, who will be willing to take on some of the various states that still have no one overseeing the work in them. Some of the workers that we have are getting up in years too. Have various health problems, and some have are considering having to retire from the work. So pray that one of the prayers was that more younger people could be brought into the prison outreach and the need there. We had Brother Elwood Jordan and his wife out in New Mexico, because of health reasons, have had to step down, but the Lord raised up for the time being a couple to take their place, but they're both in their upper 70s. So he see there that there's a need for some younger folk to get involved in the prison outreach in the various areas. Phil Wagner, we should continue to pray for him. He still continued to have some health problems with his heart, and he wasn't able to, he was going to be at our conference, but his mother-in-law died just a couple of days before the conference was to begin, so he wasn't able to be with us this year, but he has another brother that's involved full-time in the office out there that's kind of handling the day-to-day work of the Set Free Ministry in California, freeing Phil up for some other the duties that are there. But he still takes on about 10 or 12 of the states. And we have about 30 of the states now that are covered by individuals, and there's a need for about 20 more people that would take the responsibility for various states. So be in prayer as the Lord works. There's a new course under development that on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that we hope to have out by the summer, particularly for the geared toward the prisoners. Brother Jim Catron, his first course on the survey should be available within the next month or two. Mayeth used a survey course that was put out by another organization, and Mayeth made the exams to go with it, and every two or three years the other organization was revising their textbook, and Mayeth would still have a lot of exams left, and it just wasn't working out, so they decided to develop their own survey course. And so Brother Jim Catron started on it, but he's had problems with had to have surgery for a brain tumor, and he's been slowed down on the second one that he's working on. So be in prayer for him, for his health as well, and for the development of the second and third part of the Bible survey course. And so just in general, keep in prayer the outreach into the prisons across our country. There are a lot of things today that people are saying, if we could just do this or do that, it would cut down on crime. But really the only way is to get them a change in the heart. And with all the way things are going in our country, it's very, the social programs and all such things as that aren't working. And it seems like every time you turn around, they're trying to find they're blaming why people commit crime on this, that, and the other. In fact, just last week there was a read of a case down in Martinsburg, where there was some migrants that got into an argument, and this other one group of migrant workers lived in this apartment building in Martinsburg, and the one fellow set the building on fire. You maybe have read about that. And I forget whether it was one or two were killed in the fire. Well, the lawyers for the ones that set the fire are trying to get them off on the premise that because they don't speak English, they can't understand our justice system. And so they're not guilty because they don't speak English. And so there's just all kinds of strange things going on. And yet when everything is excused, even to the fact of where anymore, it seems like that, there's the idea is that there is no wrong. It's not wrong. Whatever you want to do is okay. And yet the prisons are filling faster than they can build them. Down in West Virginia, they're building a federal penitentiary down in the southern part of the state. They started out building a 1,000-bed prison. They haven't even completed it yet, and they've increased it to a 1,500-bed prison. And so you can see that just the explosion across the country. So we need to be, this is an unreached mission field that needs to be reached for the gospel, because these men and women, they're not reached for the Lord Jesus Christ. They go in, they learn more in prison about how to go out and do it again and how to get better at it, and they come back out, and pretty soon they're back in again. In fact, in the paper, there was a drug raid here in Chambersburg this week, and I recognized at least one of the names of one of the ones that's arrested as someone who had been one of the students had studied the courses at Franklin County Prison a couple of years ago. So there's a big turnover, and they really need to be reached for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to read this morning a couple of from a couple of passages. First, in Deuteronomy chapter 13. I mean, not, excuse me, Numbers chapter 14. And verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were with them that searched the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is a very good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, for fear them not. And all the congregation demanded to stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And then over in Joshua chapter 14. And beginning at verse 5. And the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I will drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave him the care of the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirith Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. Let's just look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you again this morning for the privilege we have of getting together to study thy precious word. We ask thy leading and guidance and all that's said and done that it might be to give honor and glory to thee and to thee alone. We pray that there be someone here this morning who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that before it's eternally too late, they might put their faith and trust in him today. So again, we just give thee thanks for all thou hast done, most of all for the salvation that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. I want to think this morning about this man, Caleb. And Caleb is not mentioned too many times in the scripture, but there is a lot to find in the mention that we have of Caleb. And one thing that stands out about Caleb in the passage, the second passage that we read, really sets the tone for the whole story, the whole account of Caleb. There are three particular verses in that 14th chapter of Joshua, three things that stand out. It's the testimony of Caleb. The testimony that could be said of Caleb by himself, by his friend, and by Scripture. In verse 8, we read the last part of it, "But I wholly followed the Lord my God." The testimony of Caleb himself was that no matter what came his way, he was willing to wholly follow the Lord his God. And certainly it wasn't easy for Caleb to totally give himself to the Lord. Because when he came back with the other spies, there was he was definitely in the minority, wasn't he? But Caleb knew what was right, and Caleb was able to say of himself, "All through my life, I have wholly followed the Lord my God." Wouldn't that be a testimony that each and every one of us should have a desire to have when we came to the end of our lives? We could look back and say, "I have wholly followed the Lord my God." But it wasn't just Caleb testifying of himself. Look at verse 9. It says, "And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God." Not only could Caleb testify on his own behalf, but his friend could testify as to the character of Caleb. Caleb has wholly followed the Lord his God. And in Scripture, probably not as we think of all the people in Scripture, Moses is certainly one of the key ones to take his word and testimony of an individual. But Caleb's friend, and probably if you could go back and talk to Joshua and all the friends of Caleb, you would get the same testimony from them. He has wholly followed the Lord his God. And again, if we came to the end of our lives, what a testimony it would be that our friends, those that we know and come in contact with, could be able to say of ourselves, that person, that man, that woman, and their life has wholly followed the Lord their God. But then that's even built upon just a little bit further as we come down to verse 14, because it's the testimony of Scripture. It's giving the kind of the history here. It's telling that Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, and to this day, why? Because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. The Lord in Scripture gives this very testimony of Caleb. He wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Oh, what an example Caleb can be held before us in our lives day by day. Caleb faced troubles, he faced tribulation, but yet through everything that he faced, the testimony of Caleb was that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And would that it could be said of us, of our friends, and even as we stand before the Lord one day, that he would be able to say of our lives, this person wholly followed the Lord God. And so as we think of the basis for our study on Caleb this morning, we get this basic character of the man Caleb. He was one who completely and totally gave himself over to the Lord. We want to look at several things concerning Caleb. First thing was in the first passage that we read, as we see the young Caleb. And then we want to come back to the other passage and look at Caleb in his later years. But in Joshua, in Numbers chapter 13 and 14 is the account of Moses sending the spies out into the land. In the last part of chapter 13, we see that the spies had gone out. They had saw what was there. They brought back, it tells us in chapter 13 and verse 23, they cut down a branch of grapes and they bore it between two upon a staff. Two people it took to carry the grapes that they brought back. They brought back other fruit too, pomegranates and figs. And they got back from searching out the land, and they gave the report. And Joshua and Caleb says, the land is just like God said. It's a good land. It's a land that we can take. In fact, in verse 30 of chapter 13, Caleb says, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the other spy says, we are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. Caleb suddenly found himself in a distinct minority. He and Joshua saying, yes, it's just like God said, we can go in, we can take the land, God can give us the victory, let's go. The other spies saying, no, it may have the grapes, it may be a land flowing with milk and honey, but oh, there are giants there. There are walled cities. We can't go in. We'll be slaughtered if we go in. And it says in verse 32, they brought an evil report of the land which they had searched. This was the land that God had promised to the children of Israel, and yet these spies brought an evil report of it. And then the people began to cry out, say, oh, Moses, you brought us out here to perish. We wish we could be back in Israel, or in Egypt, where we had a place to stay and things like that. It was better that we were back in Egypt. And yet Caleb stood his ground. And in verse 6 that we read earlier, Joshua and Caleb says they rent their clothes and they spoke to the children of Israel saying, the land was good. The Lord, they said, the Lord delight in us and he will bring us into this land and give it to us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord. And the thing that I see of Caleb in this passage here, the young Caleb, 40 years old at this time, was that he was a man of principle. It would certainly have been easy for Caleb and Joshua to join the other spies and say, well, maybe they're right. We're outnumbered. We don't want to have everybody against us. So we'll just go along with them and we'll say we can't go in. But Caleb didn't do that. He didn't give in to popular opinion. You know, today, young people are faced many times with much peer pressure, and even older people. It's not an easy thing to go against popular opinion, is it? When your friends are saying, let's do this, even if you know it's wrong, it's not an easy thing for young people to stand up and say, well, no, I'm not going to do it. I know what God wants me to do. But Caleb was able to stand up in the face of all kinds of popular opinion and to say, I'm going to stand firm in what I believe, in the principle of what God has given me. He, in a sense, would think of Ephesians chapter 6, where we're told to stand in the Lord in the power of his might. That's exactly what Caleb did. He was willing to stand in the power and might of the Lord. We can go in, he says. We can take the land. There may be giants there. We can take the land. But the people rebelled. It says in verse 10, they even wanted to stone Caleb and Joshua. And so because of this sin, they didn't go into the land. For 45 years, they wandered around in the wilderness. For 40 years, they wandered around in the wilderness. And at the end of that time, the whole generation that was adult at that time had perished, with the exception of two men, Joshua and Caleb. The only ones who hadn't died in the wilderness were the small children, the children who weren't old enough to the age of being able to determine between right and wrong. But all the adults that knew the promises of God and refused to accept them, they perished in the wilderness. So as we come to the 14th chapter of Joshua, many years have passed. everyone, the people have died that weren't willing to go in, and now they're back at the land again. And Caleb says, now I'm 85 years old, and here is a man who, and at the age of 40, was a man of principle. And I think as we look at Caleb's life at the age of 85, we can see that some of the very same truths that are there in the life of Caleb. In verse 9 of chapter 14, after the children of Israel began to divide the land in verse 6, and Caleb came to Joshua and said, Joshua, remember the promise that Moses made to me back at Kadesh Barnea, back when I was 40 years old, when I went to spy the land, and I brought him the good report. He says, remember what he said to me. He said, surely you can have the land wherein you're trodden. And so Caleb was claiming the promises of God. Verse 9 says, Moses said on that day, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Caleb says, this was the promise that was given to me 45 years ago. And now I'm ready to claim the promise that was given. I'm ready to go in and I'm ready to possess the land that was promised to me. Caleb was a man, not only a man of principle in his younger years, but now in his older years, we see that Caleb was a man who claimed the promises of God. And you know, God gives us many promises in His Word, and He wants us to be people who claim those promises day by day. Someone has said that there are as many as 7,000 promises in the Word of God. And certainly not all of them would apply to us, because there are many in the Old Testament that would give a promise specifically to Israel. You know, if we sit down and study through the Word of God and look for the promises that we could claim, think how many there must be. And think how many we haven't claimed over the years. Certainly it'd be an exercise, wouldn't it, to sit down and to go through the Word of God and to see all the promises that are there. Someone suggested if you sit down and you took each letter of the alphabet and you tried to come up with a promise to begin with each letter of the alphabet. Maybe there'd be a few that you couldn't, but it would be a blessing to your heart to think about all the promises that God gives to us in His Word. And we couldn't begin this morning to enumerate all the promises that are there. But as we study God's Word day by day, as we hide His Word in our heart, His promises are certainly there for each and every one of us to claim. And Caleb was a man who claimed the promises that God had given him. He didn't forget this promise. He waited 45 years for the fulfillment of it, but he was willing to say, here, I'm ready to claim the promise. I'm ready to claim the land that Moses gave to me there at Kadesh Barnea. And so, besides being a man who claimed the promises of God, Caleb was also a man who received the provisions of God. You know, Caleb, so there are quite a few provisions that God gave to Caleb. One of them was the friendship of Moses. Imagine what a joy it must have been to be a friend of Moses. You know, we sometimes think about the people we like to meet when we get to heaven, and just to have them share some of the things with us. And I'm sure that Moses would be one of the first people that most people say, that's one person I would love to meet. That's one person I would love to talk with. And Caleb had the provision of being a friend of Moses for all those years. In fact, that Moses is the one who could testify to the character of Caleb. Moses is the one who was called a friend of God. And Caleb had the wonderful provision of having Moses as his friend. In a sense, while we don't have Moses, yet doesn't the Lord give us a provision of friends among fellow believers? Isn't it wonderful that we can fellowship together with one another? That He gives us friends to encourage, friends to exhort, friends that we can fellowship, where we can have fellowship one with another in our meeting and in our assembly. This is the provision that the Lord makes for each and every one as believers. Friendship of other believers. Just as Caleb had the friendship of Moses provided, so the Lord makes the provision of friendship for each and every one of us as His dear children. And then God provided Caleb with genuine character. Look in verse 7, where it speaks of what Caleb did. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Caleb didn't try to water down what was there. Caleb didn't try to say, well, the giants aren't there. The walled cities aren't there. Caleb spoke his heart, and he says, yes, they are there, but God can give us the victory over them. God can give us the victory if we go in and possess the land. He was honest of heart. And what character it is to think of one who is honest of heart. Caleb didn't try and tell the people, well, everything is just roses over there. Everything is milk and honey. And there's no problems at all when we enter that land. No, he was willing to concede that there were the giants there. But he knew that the Lord could give him the strength to overcome the giant. And so God gave Caleb the provision of honesty of heart. And what a characteristic could be to every one of us to have in our lives that our hearts are honest before the Lord in the same way as Caleb was. And then God gave Caleb the provision of a long life, didn't he? It's interesting here that when we see of Caleb's life, he not only had a long life, but he had a strong life. Can you imagine, I think every one of us, no matter what our age is, if we would think back to what we were like 25 years ago, is our strength today as it was 25 years ago, or is it as it was even 10 years ago? And yet Caleb was able to say, the Lord has given me all the strength of it today at 85 years old. I'm just as strong as I was at 40. Wouldn't that be wonderful when we were 85, we could say we're just as strong as we were at 40? But in a spiritual sense, it can be true. The Lord has spiritual things for each and every one of us to do, and he gives us the strength to do it, and just as strong today as when we were younger in our Christian life. The Lord uses many people in a wonderful way who are advanced in years. When we were at the conference in the Emmaus conference, one of the workers from California who goes to the San Leandro Chapel was sharing that there's a Christian retirement home, evidently fairly close to the chapel there where they had the Emmaus office. And once a week, they bring a bus and bring a number of the people over from the retirement home there, and they grade courses and do this in helping out with the Emmaus work. In fact, all over the country, if all the people who are retired were taken away from the Emmaus work, it would really put a big dent in it, because the Lord has used many people to help out in various capacities, in grading and packing and doing all different kinds of things with the various prison ministries who are well up in years. God gives us strength to do that. And as Caleb was able to say, physically I'm as strong today as I was 45 years ago. You know, we should be able to say in our hearts, spiritually, I'm as strong at 50 as I was at 20. I'm as strong at 60 as I was at 30, or whatever our age is. Spiritually, our strength shouldn't waver, should it? Our spiritual strength shouldn't go down. And the Lord blessed Caleb with physical strength, but also, I believe, with spiritual strength. There's a good contrast to Caleb back in the book of 2 Samuel. In 2 Samuel chapter 19, there's a fellow there by the name of Barzillai. And in 2 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 31, it says, and Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Roglim and went over the Jordan unto the king, with the king to conduct him over the Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old. You kind of get a picture that of Barzillai is kind of very feeble, don't you? But it says he was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king with sustenance while he lay at Menahem, for he was a very great man. And the king said to Barzillai, come now over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai then said to the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old. Can I discern between good and evil? Can my servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more of the voice of singing men and singing women? Why then should thy servant be yet a burden to my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over the Jordan with the king. Why should the king recompense me with such a reward? Caleb says, I'm just as strong at 85 as I was at 40. I'm ready to go in. I'm ready to, in the strength of the Lord, possess this land. Barzillai is asked to go, and Barzillai says, oh, how can I do it? I don't even think I have much time to live. Well, I'm 80 years old, and I don't know the difference hardly between good and evil. I can't even taste what I eat. I can't even hardly hear. I don't recognize singing. Oh, I can't do that. My, what a contrast we see in Caleb and Barzillai. Both generally in the same age range. But Barzillai was looking at how he, at the physical, and Caleb was looking at the strength that he had in the Lord. You know, God gives each of us a measure of years. It may be for some that number of years may be shorter. Of course, there are, every day we read in the paper of young children that die. Yet when we read of those who are maybe even over 100, and all our years are different. But yet, when it comes to the things of the Lord, no matter what age we are, gives us strength to serve Him. He gives us something we can do in service to Him. And how much better it is to be like Caleb and say, I'm spiritually strong to serve the Lord, rather than saying like Barzillai, well, I don't have much time left on this earth. There's nothing that I can do for the Lord. There's something that every single one of us can do. There's some work that the Lord has for all of us as we look for His coming. And so Caleb was blessed with that provision. God provided him long life and strength of life and spiritual strength. He also provided Caleb with the power that he needed in the job that he had to do. Caleb says there in verse 12, now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest the day how the Anakim were there, and the cities were great and fortified. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Caleb was looking for the strength of the Lord for his power in defeating the people that were there in the land. He could say, boy, this land is strong, is a well-fortified land, and I'm 85 years old now, and I don't believe I can take it. But the word that Caleb says there to Joshua in verse 12 is, give me this mountain. He wasn't looking for the easy way out. I think of that, the comparison between two people that had a choice to make. Back in the book of Genesis, Lot had a choice to make. Abraham said, Lot, take what land you want. And Lot looked out and he saw the plain. He saw that the plain was watered. He saw it was close to the cities where everything was there in great abundance. And so Lot looked and he chose him the plain. And what happened? Lot ended up losing his complete testimony because of the choice that he made. He took the easy way out. Because he took he didn't consider the implications of all that he was choosing. But Caleb doesn't say, give me the easy land. Caleb says, give me this mountain. It's not going to be an easy battle. The mountain is difficult to go up. The fortified cities are still there. The giants are still there. But he says, with the Lord with me, I shall be able to drive them out. God is going to give Caleb the power that he needs to have the victory over those people and over those cities that are in the mountain. You know, when we go through our life, do we look for the plains all the time? Or can we look and see the mountain and trust in the Lord for victory in the mountains that are there? Back in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 we read, the book of this law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. This was the testimony that was given there at the very beginning as Joshua was taking over the children of Israel. Follow the word of God. Do what the word says. Follow the word that you have, and the Lord will prosper you and give you victory in Him. And this is exactly what Caleb was doing. He was trusting the Lord, trusting in the Lord's promises, and trusting the Lord for the power and strength to take the mountain. We also see that Caleb not only was a man who had power that the Lord gave him, but was also a man of purpose. He looked, in a sense, and he focused his eyes on what he wanted, what was needed to be done. And he saw that there was a mountain there. He saw that there were great and fortified cities. But he purposed in his heart that this was what he was going to do in the strength of the Lord, to have victory in that. So Joshua blessed him and gave Caleb Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Caleb was a man of purpose. His purpose was to take that land which God had given him, promised him. Now, Caleb was old in years, but he was young in heart. And he had this purpose, the purpose in his heart to claim the promise that God had given him. You know, I think that the purposes that Caleb had could, in a sense, be summed up in a couple of verses of Scripture, purpose that we could have in our own hearts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, we read, "Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." As I see Caleb's life, his purpose was to glorify God in all that he did. And that should be the purpose of our lives. Whatever we do, to bring honor and glory to the Lord who loved us, the Lord who sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins, the one who saved us. He says, whatever you do, whether it's small or whether it's great, do it all to the glory of God. And Caleb, from the time he was young to the time he was old, was willing to say, even when faced with the opposition of the majority, I'm going to purpose in my heart to follow the Lord. And when it came to the taking the land, the purpose was, I'm going to take it, and the Lord is the one that's going to have the glory as I do it. And then in Acts chapter 27, verse 25. Here Paul is speaking, this is after they were on the ship, and Paul says, "Sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Paul, the Lord had told Paul exactly what was going to happen, and Paul says, "I trust the Lord. That's who I put my confidence in. I don't put my confidence in man. I don't put my confidence in the fear of man, but I put my confidence in Him, and so He's going to bring it about." Caleb put his confidence in the Lord, didn't he? Caleb looked at the giants. The giants were there. The walled cities were there. And Caleb says, "I am confident that the Lord is going to give the victory." And then Caleb, I think, was willing to take what God had given him and to go out and to fight for the victory that the Lord had given. Back in Ephesians chapter 2, 8, and 9, it's a very well-known passage concerning using and concerning salvation, but it says, "For by grace are we saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works which any man should boast." But then verse 10 is added to it. As we think of that, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained, hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We are created into good works. Caleb had the blessing of the Lord, and now he's willing to go forth in the strength of the Lord to fight for this land that's been given to him. You know, the Lord has saved us. It's not by any works that we've done. It's not by anything that we could boast in at all. We have His salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. But now we're His workmanship, and we've been created unto good works, to go forth and to serve the Lord, for the mountains that are out there, the giants, the walled cities, whatever's before us in our lives, Christian lives as believers, God will give us, will strengthen us as we go forth in His workmanship to do the work that He's given each and every one of us as believers to do. And so Caleb was a man of purpose. He purposed to overcome the giants, the walled cities, and would that each and every one of us would be people of purpose in our lives before the Lord and whatever He has for us to do in these days. And then one final thing in the life of Caleb, he was a person who claimed the potential that God had given him. In Joshua chapter 23, verse 14. This is in Joshua's last message that Joshua gave to the children of Israel. In verse 14 of chapter 23, Joshua says to the people, says, "Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. You know in your hearts and in your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed thereof." What's the potential? God is going to fulfill everything that He promises. Old Caleb could trust in that wondrous potential. God had promised, and God will fulfill it. And Joshua says to the children of Israel, as he comes to the end of his life, looking back, 40 years in the wilderness, the conquest of the land thereafter, and Joshua is able to say to the children of Israel, with conviction, not one thing, not a single thing, nothing, has failed of all the good things the Lord your God spoke concerning you. Isn't that the wonderful potential that we have as we trust in the Lord? That He's not going to fail in one thing that He promises. Many times we as humans, we fail, don't we? But we can be rest assured in the Lord that He has not failed in one thing in which He's promised. And so Caleb, a man who was principled, a man who claimed the promises of God, a man who knew the provisions of God, a man who rested in the power of God, a man who had a purpose to follow the Lord, and a man who reached for the potential that God gave him as he went forth into that land. I think Caleb is a good example to us this morning, a good example to each one of us in our lives. The Lord gives us so many examples in Scripture, but we can look at Caleb and see some wonderful principles there that we can put to practice in our lives day by day. And so as you go to your home, you might want to just read up again on Caleb. There are several passages in the Scripture where Caleb is mentioned, and just get an encouragement from the life of Caleb and all that he was able to accomplish for the Lord. And to realize that here was one who, he served the Lord when he was young, and he served the Lord when he was old. No matter what our age, God can give us the strength to be useful for Him. No matter how young we are, we know the Lord Jesus Christ from a very young age, God can give us something to do for Him. And no matter what age we come to be, we can be used of the Lord as we look for His coming and look for the day when He's going to take us home to be with Him. Shall we just look to the Lord in a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we just thank You this morning again for Thy precious word. We thank You for those who've gone on before, that in Thy word we can look back to and can see and can receive encouragement from, exhortation. We thank You for Caleb. We thank You for the testimony that the Scriptures were able to give of this man. He wholly followed the Lord his God. And Father, we just pray this morning, every one of us, in our own lives, day by day, might purpose that this could be said of us, that we wholly follow the Lord our God. We thank You, Father, for all Thy many blessings. We thank You for the most of all for the wonderful gift of salvation. We didn't deserve it. We deserve nothing but eternity in the lake of fire. But in Your wondrous grace and mercy, You provided that way of salvation. And so we rejoice in that provision this morning. It's in our Savior's wonderful and precious and holy name we pray. Amen.